I want to talk to you about the spirit of Antichrist, because it's important that we understand that phrase. You think about that, okay? We'll find it in the Bible. We're going to look at it. We're going to read it here in a second. But you a lot of times hear preachers, or you'll hear Christians talk about the spirit of Antichrist. What does that even mean, spirit of Antichrist? It's small s, spirit of Antichrist. What does that even mean? And can we see it right now? What is it? And so if you look in 1 John chapter 2, if you look at verse number 18, there's four different places in the Bible where you'll find the word Antichrist. All of them were penned by John. Three of them are in 1 John, and one of them is in 2 John. So I'm going to have you turn to these four verses, and we'll read each of these verses, and then we'll give our introductory lesson this morning on this idea of the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18. The Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." It is the last time, all right? 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 22, if you look at that verse 22. "Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Christ, Jesus is the Christ." Let me read that again, because it's a question. "Who is a liar, but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son." All right, so we're getting some more information about the Antichrist, or a Antichrist. 1 John chapter 4, if you'll flip over and look at verse number 3. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 3. "And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God, and this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world." And then if you go to 2 John, the next book over, 2 John, and you look at verse number 7, 2 John, verse number 7. "For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist." Heavenly Father, Lord, we need understanding, Lord. We need your help always, of course, in understanding and interpreting the Bible. So I pray, Lord, as we look at this, that some of the things that we're seeing around us would begin to make a little more sense. And Lord, that we would also, dear God, heighten, Lord, those things that are right. And Lord, if we could possibly make it plainer to our people, the things that are wrong. Seems like right and wrong, the devil likes to mix the two up. He loves it when evil is called good and good is called evil. And more, Lord, we see with the acceptance of the spirit of Antichrist, that kind of a heart, that kind of a mindset. Lord, we're not shocked to see it in the world. We're disappointed to see even some of that in the hearts and in the minds of those who claim Christ. Help us not to be deceived. Help us to look at the Bible, to be aware. Lord, help me as I teach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Folks, I feel like we're going to blow the trumpet. That's what I feel like I'm going to be doing in Sunday school for the next probably 5, 6, 7 weeks. Blow the trumpet, because there is a shift, a dramatic shift that we've been watching. And we've been watching over the last 10 years, but you certainly saw it accelerated in the last 12 months. And that is a more and more of a spirit of Antichrist that is taking a hold of the hearts and the minds of the general population. I'm not talking about in communist China. I'm not talking about in Russia. I'm talking about in the United States of America, the spirit of Antichrist. I think I made this comment during the middle of some of the nonsense. I said, well, I feel like somebody kicked the lid off of hell and all the demons of hell that were chained escaped, and they're just now going over the United States of America, spreading the spirit of Antichrist. Preacher, what does that even mean? Well, we better interpret it right if we're going to have an understanding of it. And so four different times in the Bible, we see this word mentioned, and one time In 1 John 4:3, we are warned about the spirit of Antichrist. Now, let me see if I can give you some basic truths that will help lay the groundwork. Number one, during the tribulation period, there will be a one world leader known as the Antichrist. Now, I'm going to mention this, and I'm not going to go into a study of it now. We'll do that later on. That's interesting. That always piques the entrance of Christians. It seems like people that like prophecy and like the last days, one of the questions is, who exactly is this? Could it be alive today? And how will we know him? And how does the Bible describe him? And all of those things we'll look at, we'll study. But I want you to think about this. We're talking about a man known as, called the Antichrist. Okay? A lot of times, well, what does that spirit of Antichrist mean? Folks, words are important, and the meaning of words are important. So if we have Christ, and we know who Christ is, we're going to look at who Christ is this morning, then we have someone who proposes to be the Antichrist, then it's easy for us to define him or Antichrists or the spirit of Antichrist. It's easy for us to define that as those that oppose Christ, those that are opposite of Christ, those who are against Christ. And so we have to understand who Christ is before we can recognize and identify the spirit of Antichrist. So let's set that aside for now, but I do want to say this. During the tribulation period, there will be a one world leader known as the Antichrist. Now, number two, to prepare the way for the world to accept this leader, this one world leader, to accept the Antichrist, there will be an increase in Antichrists. And I thought that that was interesting. The Bible says, if you want to look back at 1 John chapter 2, verse 18, little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrist, whereby we know that it is the last time. Now, John thought it was the last time in his day. And you know what? I think one of the preachers was talking about that this week, where, you know what, if you read the Apostle Paul, and he wasn't talking about Jesus coming in some future generation. He was talking about Jesus coming in his lifetime. And the New Testament church, the book of Acts, folks, one of the main attributes of the abounding church was that they were convinced of the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And man, I'm going to tell you, it changed the way they lived. It changed the way they thought. It motivated them to sacrifice and service and soul winning and preaching and missionary effort endeavors. And you say, well, preacher, they were wrong. Okay, but I don't think they were wrong in believing that it could happen. And you know what? We're wrong if we don't believe it could happen in our generation. Now, they saw Antichrist in their time. They were able to listen, one of these days the Antichrist is going to come, but there are already Antichrists that are being used to prepare the world for the acceptance of the Antichrist. Now, I'd like to take those first century Christians and bring them back to earth right now and say, look around. You thought there were Antichrists in your day? You know, look around in our day, and folks, Hollywood is full of antichrists. The music industry is full of antichrists. Come on, the media is full of antichrists. Many of our politicians, elected officials, are antichrists. Amen. We're going to show you that it's true. Okay, wait a minute. You're for Christ or you're against Christ? Okay, and not just against him. I'm not talking about your neutral. I'm talking about your anti-Christ. Well, preacher, again, what does that mean? We're going to get to it. Stay with me, okay? So we saw that during the tribulation period, there's a one world leader known as the Antichrist. To prepare the way for the world to accept this leader, there will be an increase in Antichrist. Folks, I mean this. I'll be bold in saying that there's certain people. I'm going to bring you a list next week. I'm going to call names next week. I'm talking about people that are alive right now that are comedians, that are antichrist, that are talk show hosts, that are antichrist, that are news reporters that are antichrist, that are politicians that are anti. I'm not going to just throw a word around. The reason I'm not naming them now is if we don't understand what that means, then you're going to want to argue, or you're going to think I'm harsh. Once you understand what the spirit of antichrist is and what an antichrist is, because there isn't just one, there will be one world leader, one, but there are many antichrists that are propagating and creating a spirit of antichrist, so that when antichrist is revealed, the antichrist, it will be a normal thing, an accepted thing, and people will gravitate to that man. So we'll get real specific before we get done here, amen? Number three, an increase in antichrist is a sure sign of the last times or the last days. Okay, and that's what it said there in verse 18. It says, whereby we know that it is the last time. So when you see an increase of antichrist, you're going to know that there's a reason for that, because we are drawing very near to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, these antichrists will create a spirit of antichrist among the general population of the world. Now, folks, they're accomplishing it. There are antichrists walking into elementary classrooms and influencing children in our area every day. Or maybe they're getting on Zoom and doing it. I don't know how many is back in school or not. Yeah, I said it. Yeah, teachers union, I said it. There's a lot of you that are antichrists. The vast majority are antichrists. Preacher, wow. Well, stay with me. Stay with me. Listen, are you for Christ? Are you against Christ? Well, what does that even mean? Oh, we're going to John chapter 1. We'll get there. Hold on. The spirit of, listen, these antichrists are going to create. Now, if you can get kids in preschool and start teaching them antichrist philosophies, antichrist beliefs, an antichrist outlook at the world, you can turn the general population into having an antichrist view and an antichrist acceptance. That is what's happening right now, okay? So, number five, the spirit of antichrist will be created through deception. Okay, and we read in 2 John, verse number 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. So when people begin to teach wrongly about Christ, when they begin to argue against some things about Christ that the Bible says is true, they've identified them as themselves as an antichrist. But folks, they're slick in the way that they do it. They're very deceptive in the way that they do it. They can stand up before a podium one time and talk about their church affiliation and their religion and quote some Bible verses. I mean, some of antichrists have even put their hand on the Bible and raised their other hand and sworn to uphold the Constitution of the United States when they have no intention of doing so. They're going to do everything they can to destroy the Constitution of the United States. They're deceptive. They're deceitful. Say, preacher, how in the world can somebody, we're going to answer this. How can they take an antichrist philosophy and how can they disguise it so it seems like it is a good and acceptable and the right viewpoint to have in life? All you do is you start with anti-bullying curriculum. Preacher, you're not for bullying, are you? No. Wrong. But you can disguise something as anti-bullying curriculum. And then you say, well, they're going to teach this in school. Well, good, because there's too much bullying going along. We shouldn't have bullying. Okay. So you know how you keep from being a bully? Tolerance. Acceptance. And next thing you know, they are taking anti-bullying curriculum and recruiting your children into the sodomite lifestyle. Getting them to question their gender. But, you know, if you stood up in a school board meeting and said, I've got a problem with this anti-bullying, then all of a sudden, that's what's wrong with those fundamentalists. They're mean-spirited, and they hate people. And whoa, time out. What? See, what they're going to do, folks, is they're going to try to create a spirit of deception where if you are over here standing for and defending sins that God has condemned, you are the good person. Come on, it's already happening. And if you speak out against the things that God's condemned, then you are a hate monger. And that's hate speech. And the spirit of deception that is causing people to embrace anti-Christ beliefs and anti-Christ philosophies, and really, watch this, an anti-Bible view, an anti-church feeling in their heart, anti-Christianity. All right, so think about that. The spirit of Antichrist will be created through deception. Number six, and we'll get into, try to get into the meat of some things. Number six, let me finish by asking this question. Preacher, then, what is the spirit of Antichrist and how can we recognize it, okay? All right, so if we're going to understand Antichrist and the spirit of Antichrist and identify Antichrists, then what we have to do, first of all, is say, well, who is Jesus Christ? See, you're not going to understand someone who is Antichrist until you understand Christ. So let's go to the Gospel of John. We're in 1 John, but let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. If somebody was going to say, preacher, explain to me who Jesus Christ is, and I want you to do so using just one chapter in the Bible, you know what I would do? I would go to John, chapter number 1. Now, not everything about Jesus Christ is found in John chapter 1. Certainly, we could go to other portions of Scripture, and we will. But John chapter 1 is a great starting place to learn the basics of answering the question, who is Jesus Christ? Who was Jesus Christ? Some people will say, who was? I would say, who is? Because you know what? There's no was in Christ, all right? I am that I am. Amen. So there was no beginning, no end. So we read in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, we read these words. It starts out right at the beginning. Here we go, first verse. In the beginning was the, capital W, what? Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now already we've learned several things about Christ. The very first thing that we need to understand about Jesus Christ, listen to me, because this is going to help us more than any other thing identify the spirit of Antichrist and identify Antichrists, is the first thing the Bible says is in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is introduced to us by John by using one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ that is an accurate title. He says, in the beginning, he didn't say, in the beginning was Jesus. In the beginning was Christ. In the beginning was the Son of God. Now, he could have said all those things that have been true. But the emphasis that God wanted to place in the Gospel of John was this. In the beginning was the Word. Now, folks, let me tell you how we can identify Antichrist philosophy, Antichrist teachings, and people who are antichrists, okay? If you don't know this book, you're not going to be able to identify any of those things. So when somebody begins to teach things that are opposite of the Bible, what they're doing is they are helping to create a spirit of antichrists. When somebody stands up and questions the validity of the Bible, begins to draw doubt on the Bible, on whether it's God's word or not, that is the spirit of Antichrist. Listen, if you're pro-Christ, you're pro-Bible. Well, I'm a Christian, but I just don't believe all of the Bible. You can't say I'm for Christ and against the Bible. That's deception. Okay, that's how deceivers talk. Because Jesus said, I'm the Word. If you go back, and I'll go there real quickly to Revelation, if you want to go back to Revelation. And let me see if I can find it real quick. I didn't write this down in my notes. Jesus comes back on a white horse, chapter 19. And when we see Jesus come back at the end of the tribulation period to set these things in order and to win the battle of Armageddon and set up the millennial reign, Revelation 19:11, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him is him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes are as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called, capital T, the, capital W, word of, capital G, God. The Word of God. Now, folks, listen to me. If I'm preaching this Bible and preaching it as it's written, then I'm pro-Christ. If I'm questioning the Bible, I'm creating a spirit of Antichrist. If I'm denying the Bible, I'm helping to create a spirit of Antichrist. If I personally stand against the Bible, then I am an Antichrist. This is how plain we need to say it, because, folks, there's not any more gray. The gray is disappearing. You're not going to be able to hide in the middle much longer. They're making us choose sides. You know, the Antichrist, the spirit of Antichrist is becoming stronger and stronger and stronger. And you know what they're going to do? They are going to start identifying people who believe this book as being insane, unstable, potential domestic terrorists, a threat to the United States of America, people who are steeped in superstition, who deny science. I mean, all these things are being said almost on a daily basis right now. I mean, the gloves are off. But listen, if I turn my back on this book, I've turned my back on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, listen, you cannot separate Jesus Christ and the Word of God. He has said, in the beginning was the Word. Give me that title. Because what I'm going to do is I want to exalt, I want to lift up the importance of the Bible in the hearts and minds of my people. You know, the Bible says that in the book of Psalms, he esteemed the Word of God above his own name. I mean, listen, we need to have respect for this book. You know, stop trying to explain it away. A lot of preachers spend more time trying to explain away what the Bible says instead of just saying, that's what it says. Okay, so when we talk about this spirit of Antichrist, folks, what it is, first of all, it's an attack against the Bible. All right, we're talking about last days, aren't we? Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. I want you to see some things. Say, preacher, is this really true? Oh, yeah, well, I'll let you judge, okay? You come to church to listen. You've got a King James Holy Bible, hopefully in your lap. I'm going to let you take a look at it. I'm going to see whether or not you think the preacher's telling you wrong. But I'm telling you, in the last days, there is going to become a spirit of Antichrist. We've already said that. The spirit of Antichrist is one of the evidences or signs that we're in the last of the last of the last days. All right, now we're in 2 Timothy chapter 3. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Stop. Let's just all stop. Say, preacher, what's this have to do with the Word of God and identifying Antichrist as they stand in opposition to the Word of God? Every single sin that is listed, by the way, these are sins that are listed. Okay? Every one of these things that are listed that is becoming normal behavior in the generation prior to the coming of Christ are things that the Bible stands firmly against. So people are going to become lovers of their own selves. And what is the first and great commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. But you know, Whitney Houston comes out with a song, and she proclaims that the greatest love of all in this song is learning to love yourself. Come on. And you know what? There's Christians, and when that all came out, they were playing it on the radio and singing it. And I mean, that's being propagated, folks. That humanistic teaching of self-love. I'm going to say it this way. I almost preached a message on this years ago, and I got it done. I just never have preached it. But I'm telling you, the fastest growing religion in the world, the fastest growing religion in the world in the last 10 to 15 years is the religion of self-worship or self-love. Men are lovers primarily of their own self. Now, Jesus said there's two great commandments. You love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You love your neighbor as yourself. Is there a reason, preacher, that you just kind of sing a lot of the same songs over and over in Sunday school? Yeah, I'm trying to combat humanistic teaching. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way. I mean, I sang that when I was a little kid going to Sunday school. We sang it when I was a kid at Rock Run Baptist Church. We sang it when I was a kid when they started Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Jesus and others and you, what a wonderful way to spell joy. And yet, you know what? If you try to present that to the average person, watch it, folks. Listen, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Okay? He's writing Timothy. God is using Paul to write Timothy and warn him of sins of the last days. Folks, in the world, these sins have always existed. They existed in Timothy's days. Then why in the world is these things listed as sins that will warn us that it's the last days? Because I believe he was telling the young preacher, it's not just going to be the sin that you find prominent in the world. It's going to be the sin that you find prominent in the church house. Men shall be lovers of their own self. Everything that happens judged as good or bad by how it affects me. I'm telling you, look right up here and let me help you with something. Folks, as a pastor, I talk to preachers all the time. I counsel young pastors. You know what the hardest thing that people are dealing with, preachers dealing with the ministry right now? Christians who are constantly getting their feelings hurt. And so look right up here, because I'm going to ask you to help me. I am not going to sit around my office being handcuffed with the decisions that I need to make that's best for this church and best for the body of Christ. I'm not going to be handcuffed by saying, oh, but if I do that, so-and-so might get their feelings hurt. And yet the average expectation in a church congregation, many congregations across our area is, well, pastor made that decision. He didn't even consider so-and-so's feelings. Excuse me, are you seven? Are you seven? Are you kidding me? So now what we've got to do is we've got to walk around, because everybody, the most important part of their entire makeup is their emotions now. Not their reasoning. Okay, not their reborn spirit. Not their mind. Let's forget facts. Let's just decide because of feelings. All right? Are you listening to me? Well, you did. You made a decision, but you know that you sat there all week long like you had your feelings hurt. Well, you know, I listen to God and I follow God's leading. And you know what? We're going to shake up some things and change some things from time to time and swap people around from time to time and train new people from time to time. And if you're sitting around sucking your thumbs, showing up every Sunday, just judging everything on whether your feelings got hurt or not, we're going to get nothing done for the cause of Christ. I'm not pastoring, I'm babysitting. And the reason I say that is, for the most part, I don't have that problem in this church. But some of you need to grow up a little bit. But I'm telling you, young pastors that are taking congregations, and that is the primary thought pattern of their entire congregation, is the preacher supposed to tiptoe carefully around, because if you hurt anybody's feelings, then they won't come to church anymore, and you might lose this family, or you might devastate this teenager and everything. What are we doing? Listen, if you love God and love others and die to self, then you know what? You're going to say, hey, preacher, as long as you're not going against the scriptures, whatever you feel like we need to do, let's do it, man. If it helps the church, helps the spirit of the church, something new you want to try, let's go, let's do it. You know? So we've got to be careful, because in this day and age, folks, in the church house, I'm also going to tell you, I'm not being handcuffed by that. Okay, I don't need to change if you're constantly getting your feelings hurt. You need to grow up. Okay, stop condemning me. Go look in the mirror and figure out why your feelings are always getting hurt. Grow up. I'm going to shock some of you. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's not about your feelings. It's about lost souls. It's not about just what's good for you. It's about what's good for the entire body of Christ. Okay, most things that I do in life are not the best for me. But I'm not living for me. Okay? Are we helped? What I'm trying to do is I'm trying to battle back against the spirit of Antichrist. Folks, we're not going to preach down through this whole thing, but let me just ask you some questions as we go through it. Does the Bible condemn covetousness? So what are we reading here? We're reading the spirit of Antichrist. If the world in general and even the church has become covetous, are they not propagating the spirit of Antichrist? I want to say this. If you put your seatbelt on, if you are overcome and controlled by covetousness, are not you an Antichrist? Go to the Gospels and point at one selfish thing that Jesus did. Was his life consumed with things? Did he spend his life, come on, folks. I get up and try to raise some money around here, and some of you have to walk around like you're offended. Grow up. Is your life so tied to things and tied to money that the preacher can't even get up and say, hey, we're going to do something unusual this year. You know, we don't do it every year, but we're going to plant a church. And you just want to walk around like, oh, my goodness sakes, preacher's just being unreasonable. Good night. The government's giving you free money. And you're still stingy? No, I mean it. What are we going to do? Who are we going to live like? Because there is Christ and the way he taught us to live, and there is Antichrist. And you know what covetousness is? Antichrist. Because it's anti, watch this, this is the point I want to get across. If it's anti-Bible, it's Antichrist. I mean, when you get that thing settled, you preacher, are you sure? Whew, man, I mean, that, yeah, I know it puts a lot of our sins on trial, doesn't it? Because we're either for Christ and we're trying to pattern our lives after Christ, and we are propagating a Christ spirit of Christ-likeness, or we are part of what sits over here and generates this spirit of Antichrist. Look, I'm going to tell you something. I preach in enough churches to tell you, I've walked in churches and preached in churches and counseled pastors that are trying to pastor church where the spirit of Antichrist rules in their church. You say, preacher, that's a bold statement. Are they worshiping Satan? Are they Wiccans? Are they? No, I'm talking about monks saved people. They will sit and defend an unbiblical attitude, unbiblical lifestyles. They'll get mad if the preacher preaches against certain sins because guess what? That sin happens to be in their family. That might mean before it came into their family, one of their kids or one of their grandkids, every time the preacher preached against it was amen. But then it comes into their family and the preacher preached against it. Well, what changed? I mean, is the Bible true or is it not true? Okay, if it was true 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, preacher, why do you just on a regular basis preach against the sin of sodomy? Because the Bible is against it. And the spirit of Antichrist is for it. And yet more and more preachers have dropped it off their list of things they can mention from the pulpit, and they got too many people in their church that has a relative or somebody involved, and I've got members on my side of the family, Ross' side of the family. Cheryl's got members of family and her side of the family that's involved in this lifestyle. Watch this. Look right up here. We love those people, but we preach against the sin. Now watch this. People say if you tell somebody that they're wrong about something, then that's a hate speech. What? Really? Okay. So how far are we going to go with this? So if I'm against murder, is that hate speech now? Because I'm offending murderers? I'm not loving and accepting to murderers? Because if we go quiet on all sins that God condemns, okay? I mean, folks, listen to me. I preached against people living together outside of marriage 20 years ago. I didn't stop preaching against it when it became part of my family. Matter of fact, I probably preached more against it when it became part of my family. So that means you don't love that family member? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul. And here's the thing. Watch this. Now, I want some of you to help me. Because there's folks that the minute you bring up any kind of sin, it's like they just get this, well, how can he say anything against it? First of all, it's not me. It's the Bible that's condemning it. Listen, God needs us to preach against sin and love sinners. God wants to deliver you from that sin. God wants to bless you. God wants to forgive you. God cannot bless you if you are living in direct disobedience. See, people live in sin and their life is in chaos and nothing's ever going right. And then when you preach against the sin, they get mad at you. Listen, someone's throwing you a lifeline. You're about to drown. I'm doing you a favor. Grab the lifeline and let God save you and help you and get you on solid ground. See, there was folks, for the first 200 years of our nation, preachers preached against sin. You know what the reaction was most of the time? People repented of their sins. Now we preach against sin and people want to kill the messenger. Okay, God does not point these things out to try to hurt you. He's pointing these things out to try to help you. But listen, more and more the spirit of Antichrist. You know, come on, might as well we're here. Boasting, is that a sin? Does the Bible preach against being proud? Does the Bible preach against being blasphemers? So if somebody goes on their TV show almost every single night and blasphemes God, is he helping to propagate the spirit of Antichrist? Is he an Antichrist? He absolutely is. Okay, Bill Maher is an Antichrist. Bill Maher, I pray that he gets saved, but he is an Antichrist. Okay? And he's got the ear of the college age kids and the young adults in America. Okay, disobedient to parents, is that right now? I mean, is that okay because we're in the... No. So a kid who says, I don't have to obey my mom, I don't have to obey my dad, they have adopted an Antichrist philosophy in their life. They have been influenced by the spirit of Antichrist. And whoever's taught them that or told them that is an Antichrist. That's deceiving that kid. Because the Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. So God says, if you'll come over here and take a pro-Bible attitude, a Christ attitude, because Jesus went down, was subject to Mary and Joseph, and Joseph wasn't even his real dad, but he was subject to them. So he set by example and by the word that obeying your parents is the Christ standard, and yet we have an increasing teaching, and I'm telling you, it's being propagated. Folks, listen to me. There is legislation being introduced in Congress right now that I'm talking about federal level that would empower child services to come and take your children out of your home if you speak against the gay and lesbian lifestyle. Now, will it make it through? Will it get adjusted? You better pray it does. Now, think about that. Let that sink in. I can get you the information if you want. what I'm telling you is, preacher, why are you taking time to do this? Why this theme? Because the spirit of Antichrist, folks, is becoming incredibly strong. And those that are taking an Antichrist, again, well, I don't care if you believe or don't believe the Bible, whatever, just let live and let live. That's not even the feeling anymore. It is. You better not believe that book, and you better not preach that book. And if you do, we're going to find you. We're going to shut you down, shut you up somehow. That is the spirit of Antichrist. Okay? Something as simple as disobedient to parents. Something as simple as unthankfulness, unholy, without natural affection. Truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce. Again, I don't want to teach through all of these. What I'm saying is this. Why are these sins listed as last day sin? Because they are sins that are creating a spirit of Antichrist in our country. Now, folks, leave with this, and then we'll pick up here next week. But if you are anti-Bible, you are Antichrist. Because we went to John chapter 1, and if we're going to learn who Christ is, we better learn who Christ is. And once we learn who Christ is, you better figure out, are you for him or are you against him? And he said, in the beginning was the Heavenly Father. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, I sat here and I preached these things and think to myself, man, 100 years ago, even 50 years ago in an independent Baptist church, people would be saying these things and folks would be coming out of their pews shouting amen. And yet we just live in a time where we have been so influenced by TV and movies and sinfulness and the media. We are now trying to pastor a generation that has been raised in the last 50, 60 years in a humanistic, anti-Christ, anti-Bible school system. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd help us to stand up for Jesus in these last days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.